Hello there. This is Island Extras, and I'm your host, Mark Hickling. Today we're talking with Kevin Hofberg, Executive Director of the Vashon Center for the Arts. Headquartered in a new 20,000-square-foot art center at the corner of Vashon Highway and Cemetery Road, the facility is state-of-the-art, dwarfing the previous Blue Heron Art Center just next door. Earlier this week, Kevin led the annual VCA member meeting, recapping the past year, talking about 2019 and beyond, and going into the financials a little bit. We're glad he could join us here today to get the word out to our radio audience. Kevin, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Thank you for that outstanding lead-in, Chris, and congratulations on that amazing baritone voice that you got going right now. It's fabulous.
Terrific. All right. Let's just start by winding the clock back to February 2018.
Sure, February 13th.
That's right. You remember the date well. It was a well-attended pivotal vocal town meeting, pulling a crowd of about 200 people. VCA got a lot of feedback.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened since then?
It's almost a better question: is what hasn't happened since then? At the very top of the organization, there was a leadership change. So the previous executive director went on to do other things. I retired, I resigned the board, and I became the permanent executive director. We had a fair bit of board turnover, so some of our colleagues left, and seven new board members joined us, which I think was a fabulous thing at a time when they could have made a decision to do something else. Those folks stepped forward. We rethought how we programmed our gallery. That was a big part of the message on Monday night, but as well, just over the past year, I think the signature event there was our Vashon Summer Arts Fest, where we showed the work of 111 artists and 40 shows. We conceived of our auction and ran a successful auction. We began the process in 2018 of thinking about 2019. You know, that was new. We put on piles of classes. There's a bunch of data, and we could talk about where people can get that. And we distributed $111,000 in scholarships to folks who had economic reasons why they couldn't take a dance class or an art class. So and I think when I look back, what the story arc that I see is a year that, you know, began with a fair bit of noise and alienation and anger, and because a lot of people leaned in, Mark, mm-hmm. new board members, existing board members, staff who stepped forward in a big, big way, mm-hmm. artists who decided to reengage, performers who chose to engage or reengage. I mean, all these people, you know, leaned in and helped us by the end of the year make it what I think was a successful year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, one of the things you talked about was just the power of VCA, as I think you called it, a big economic engine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, tell us more about that. That's an important story.
Yeah, it is. And there's layers to the story. As best I can tell, VCA, Vashon Center for the Arts, is the largest nonprofit on the island. Our annual turnover is about $2 million. I think the second largest is the food bank, you know, and everybody else is quite a bit smaller than that. So we're large in that way. We have one of the top 10 payrolls on the island, which means that those are folks who are have jobs on the island. They take that money and they spend that money on the island. We employ or contract with or send money to about 200 people on the island through W-2s and 1099. So people who are employed either as full-time employees or teachers that we're sending money to. And we put about $1.5 million back into the local economy. We are a net importer of capital. We bring more money onto the island than we ship away from the island. And so, you know, I think that that's, you know, credit to a bunch of different things. One is, you know, 50 years of stewardship and building and nurturing and mothering and fathering that many, many generations of people have done over the years. Our core programs are 30 years old. I think it's testimony to the fact that the island wants a large, multifaceted arts organization that can deploy capital and resources to make it possible to put on the kind of programming that we do, which is not possible for others. And so in that way, it's a big engine.
And that, one of the things you pointed out was it really is a very large spread of programs that are going on, all different categories, right?
Yeah, thank you. There's five. And I've made this point before. Most arts organizations, you know, have a major and some minors. So you could think about, you know, an easy example would be the Pacific Northwest Ballet in Seattle. It's a ballet, right? You know, and so they put on performances. There's some classes. We have five program areas that we value equally. So we have three education-related programs. So we have our dance center. We have our arts education program, which includes musical theater, but it's all kinds of arts education. And we have our Vashon Artisan Schools program, which is a residency program. So there's three. And then in the big building, in the K, we have two additional programs. One is our visual arts business, our gallery business, and we're currently running about 4,700 square feet of gallery space across our campus. That's just indoors. And then we have our performing arts business or our theaters business. And so it makes for a richly textured organization. Mm-hmm. It also makes for a very complicated organization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the art gallery aspect of it. We have apparently one of the largest art galleries in King County. Is that true?
It is. You would have to not count the Seattle Art Museum or, you know, anything of that, you know, which is just a whole other right. scale. But if you were to go wander around Pioneer Square or any of those places okay. where there are galleries, we dwarf most of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I understand that perspective now. And in terms of sales, how did we do?
Well, when we think about sales, there's broadly three categories of things that we sell. One is tickets to things.
Mm-hmm.
One is tuition, so that somebody is deciding they want to take a class. And the third thing is art.
Mm-hmm.
And so that all that adds up to use the word sales. Another word that we'll use for that is earned revenues. And, you know, in round numbers, that's $700,000 and change, $720,000, $730,000, depending on what year you're talking about. I think we're budgeted this year for, you know, that's a number like that. $728,000 might be the number.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we sell. I can anticipate the next question. You can ask me the next question. But so, and we
go ahead and answer it then.
Well, there's probably two questions. One is, you know, what's the rest of it? So
actually, that wasn't the question.
Then you should ask your question. I don't want to anticipate it.
All right, good.
We'll My go favorite color is black.
Okay, good. In terms of tickets of the $700,000, how much of that was in tickets?
So in roundish numbers, our education businesses, all of them together, are $300,000 and change. The tickets, so we're talking about now things that are in the K, is 200 and something and change. 250 is the number that I have in mind. And art sales is last year was in the $50,000 to $60,000 range. And I emphasize all of these numbers are on our website, and we'll tell you at the end how to find that. But just in terms of orders of magnitude, that's about what those numbers are.
That's good. That's good. And how is 2019 looking?
We're feeling good that we're going to make our number for the year. The first quarter is always slow for the performance part of our business. The gallery sales were ahead of budget. We've had a very strong lead to the year. And I think there's reasons for that, and we can talk about that. And our class revenue is probably flat.
Mm-hmm.
February didn't do us any favors. Snowmageddon actually took, you know, a bit of a bite out of our, you know, out of a lot of our businesses.
Need a snowshoeing class.
In retrospect, that, you know, so yes, in 2019, we're going to lay one of those on. Absolutely right.
All right. And how is membership trending?
So that's a story. Membership is down from its high.
Mm-hmm.
So at the
end. When was that?
So in terms of my perspective, so I'm only, you know, really looking back as far as 2015. So I can speak in terms of that. But at the end of 15, our membership was just shy of 800.
Mm-hmm.
The end of 16, we were in that 800 range, low 800, 810, somewhere in there, 820 maybe. And then what happened is that membership fell off. So we closed last year in the mid 500 range.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit, you know, eye-opening for us. And I think it's a function of a couple of things. One is that the organization as a whole didn't pay nearly enough attention to stewarding its members in the years that followed the completion of the building. There was just, you know, other things that people were thinking about. And I should emphasize, you know, we are not a membership organization in the sense that a golf club is. Right. So it's not like these are, you know, equity members, but we didn't pay attention. We didn't steward. And then as 2018 came upon us, the combination of whatever, you know, sense of alienation people were starting to feel in 2017 and the fact that we were not on our game in terms of sending out renewal notices and just a bunch of basic business hygiene. We failed on both of those fronts. And so so it's not surprising in 2018, by virtue of things that we had not done, you know, in 2017, and by virtue of, again, this sort of ambient anxiety level, which got quite high, the membership levels fell off. We believe they're trending upwards, but that's that story.
Now, you closed 2017 at around 500.
We closed 18
at about
520 or something like that. We closed 17 at 810 or 820 or something like that. So again, that would have been, that's velocity from before.
Trending better this year?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we started to just do better towards the end of 2018, and I'm going to start to get confused on my years here for a couple of reasons. One is we hired a new development communications director, and so we just are the rhythm of our paying attention to members has gone up. We had a very successful closeout campaign to raise money and membership at the end of the year.
Right.
And again, I think that my sense, and I think it's accurate, is that people are feeling better about how VCA as a whole is engaging with the community. Where I think we're more welcoming. There's lots more on ramps for people to, you know, find a way there and to find something that speaks to them, you know, whatever that is.
Well, I think one good example would have been the Summer Arts Fest you did last year. That was winning some hearts and minds. It didn't make money exactly, but what have you got planned for this year?
Well, so in terms of Summer Arts Fest, it's repete. We're doing the same thing. And so we put out a call earlier this year. We started with a community meeting. So we invited people to come, mostly artists, to talk to us about what did they want.
Right.
And then we had made some adjustments to how we thought about it. But the basic rhythm, Mark, is the same. There will be about the same number of artists. I think we're at about 100. We were at 111 last year, so call that even. As before, every Friday in July and August, we will turn some portion of the gallery again. So every Friday, there'll be a reason to come down and see something, hear something, eat something, drink something. And, you know, have a chance to just marinate in this incredibly rich broth of visual arts on the island. And it's an extraordinary collection.
Well, I think that's good. It wins some hearts and minds. And maybe last year was the first pancake.
I love that image. And there's nothing like a good pancake. And I think that it did. I mean, honestly, by the end of the summer, we could feel some sense of having turned at least a corner. And we closed out the show with a great potluck supper, and it was, you know, it was well attended, and I think, you know, I have every reason to believe it'll be the same.
Okay. I'm going to take just a little break here. For those of you who have just joined us, this is Island Extras, and with us here today is Kevin Hofberg, Executive Director of the Vashon Center for the Arts. Let's talk just a little bit about this amazing performance hall, this superb facility, perhaps world-class. I don't know if that's just local pride or what the story is here. Tell us a little bit about this magnificent hall.
So what I know about the hall is what I've experienced just as both a, you know, somebody who's been a guest to it, as well as somebody who joined, you know, the board and then the staff when it was done. It was architected by a big-time Seattle-based firm that absolutely knows what they're doing. The sound design was done by people who knew what they were doing. I think when the penny really dropped for many of us is when this brilliant young Russian pianist, whose name I can't pronounce, but we all called him Slava, showed up in January and played a concert for us, a solo piano piece. And that in and of itself was a story. And when I was taking him back to the lodges, the night after, he said, Kevin, it's one of the finest concert halls I've played anywhere in the world.
Hmm.
Really? Says I. Say more. And he said, for two reasons. One is, in his mind, in his experience, the acoustics are spectacular, and they are, particularly for unamplified music. And he says, as a performer, how he's able to hear the sound in the building, he says, is extraordinary. He said, the second thing is, unlike a big hall like Carnegie Hall, where you cannot feel the audience, as a performer, he says, he can feel the 300 people that are in the audience. And he says, so as a performer, it's an unusual experience to have the quality of acoustics that we have in a building the size that we have.
Yeah, yeah. It is a marvelous facility. What are the challenges of running such a grand facility?
I'll tell you what, you know, so if you and I just took look outside, we've got a beautiful early summer day going on. And one of the biggest challenges that we face is 18 hours of daylight when the weather gets better. You know, there's such a rich texture and tapestry of things to do on this island. And this weekend, you know, Vashon Events sent out their mailer. They had 23 things to do this weekend. Mm-hmm. And so at sort of a macro level, you know, we're competing against a great sunset, a walk on the beach, a glass of wine with your friends, you know, just all of the other alternatives. You know, at another level, we compete against Netflix and all the things that keep you home watching television. And so, you know, we're trying to, you know, put 250 to 300 people into our building on a regular basis. And it starts with, you know, just how many alternatives people have. And I think, you know, at a second level, it's, you know, what's the right mix of programming that folks on the island will say, I should come and listen to that. Keeping in mind that we offer a spectacular venue. We don't charge for parking. You don't have to take a ferry.
Well, I think those alternatives are not going away, especially on a day like today.
Correct.
But certainly the mix, that's an area that could be looked at and worked on.
So you're probably, you know, you're doing a nice job of leading me. And we are thinking hard about, listening hard about, and looking for ideas about how does this fabulous campus that we have better serve our community, and how do we do things that not only serve the community, but also are economic for us. So our theater, for example, we make it available a significant amount of time to our wonderful island programming partners. So just things off the top of my head, we had Chorale in there last week. We've got, I think next up is opera, which is loading in like a week. In between, we've got our own musical theater kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got our own dance kids. We've got our own dance kids after that. We've got Drama Doc coming up. And so these are people that we're serving, and we're making our building available at way, way below market rates. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we feel like that's part of our mission.
Mm-hmm.
It does mean that we have to be conscious of the, when we're programming things that are not that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we get paid.
Right. Now, I think you mentioned that it was at Metis Yahoo who had one of the great, great shows, and he really is awesome. So, and that was one of the best off-island events. Was that true?
Yeah. So Metis Yahoo was somebody who was on stage last year. He's an Israeli Orthodox beatboxing world music artist. And I think he's the only one who checks all those boxes. We sold the house. So we actually took out the seats on the side, and it was a standing room only house. And 40% of the house came from off island.
40%. Is that the high watermark?
As far as I can tell. Well, and particularly for an event that size. So we've had some other events where we've had 40% from off island,
okay.
But we had like, you know, 112 people in the building.
Oh,
so, right. And the other events that sell like that,
right,
are big names that sell themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, selling Judy Collins wasn't particularly hard. David Grisman, mm-hmm. Leo mm-hmm. Kottke. I mean, these are names that are well known on the island. They're, Modesty was like Yahoo is a whole different category, but you know, the kind of the aging baby boomer performers do well.
Mm-hmm.
The economics, you know, they're expensive for us to do. Where, you know, what we're wanting to do is things like Albert Cano Smith, who is just there, brilliant young piano player. What we would like to be able to do is introduce to the island, you know, sparkling, emerging talent where, you know, we can get them for a good price and we can make the tickets available for a good price and still make a nickel.
That sounds good. Now, what have you got lined up in 2019 that really does call to off-island visitors?
Well, the single biggest thing we've got in the near term is our garden tour.
Okay.
So that that is in June. It's I'm going to do this from memory, 21st and 22nd, I think is what it is. And we will sell about 1,200 to 1,300 tickets to that, of which, you know, three quarters to half will come from off-island. We have doing this in partnership with a bunch of local businesses here up and down the strip and off. Chamber of Commerce is a partner with us. There's a long list of people who are in this with us. And that is, so that's a big bring people from off island. It's a one of our fundraisers. We are working with Earshot Jazz, which is the big jazz brand in King County. And mm-hmm. so we'll be partnering with them in October. So there's a good example of off island. And maybe a third great example is we have just announced a partnership with Seattle Dance Collective. This is made up of the sparkling young talent from Pacific Northwest Ballet.
Mm-hmm.
Noe and James, who are the principal dancers there. They're going to bring a troupe of really exciting young dancers out here in July, begins the week of the 8th, and they'll be doing classes, open rehearsals, and then we will sell four events, and we think, you know, that'll be another thing that'll bring, you know, 900 people from off island.
Okay, well, that sounds really exciting. Okay, I got a question for you now. One of the big chunks of your presentation, it was near the end, was when you walked through the financials, and you put those up on the website. Where are those for people to look at?
Sure. So if people can find us on the web, VashonCenterForTheArts.org, if you can just get that far, there's a menu bar on the top, and over on the right side, it says About. And if you click there, you're going to see the word financials, and that'll be a really strong clue that you have arrived at the right place. But just start by finding our page, head to the right and find About, and you'll get there.
Well, I'm not the strongest person with numbers, but I did look at the text that you put up there too, and that was very helpful.
There's about 3,500 words, so there's lots of text.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I picked out only a few of them here. It looks like it takes $2 million a year to run the center with all of its ongoing programs. Yet it must continue to raise $1.2 million a year in donations, sponsorships, and grants to keep it going, right?
Correct.
And how's that going?
Well, how's that going? So we are on track, on budget right now for the year. And so just to make sure that everybody's tracking this, because the numbers are actually quite simple. It does take $2 million, 1.9 something, to run the organization. And what those costs are detailed on the website that we've talked about. So just subtract what we earn from when we talked about that 10 minutes ago, from all the stuff that we sell. And that just leaves another number.
Mm-hmm.
And we are like every other philanthropic organization, every other arts organization, where there is going to be that mix. And so we are in range with peer organizations where our total turnover somewhere in the 40 to 50% range comes from that. So this is not a shocking number.
No.
And I don't have a story in my head that'll be any less than that. What is up for grabs is what are the sources of that 1.2 something million dollars. Mm-hmm. And so it's always going to be a mix of individual contributions, and that'll be very large ones to very small ones.
Mm-hmm.
Some business sponsorships. And so, you know, we have a wonderful group of on-island businesses. So there's some money that comes from there. We are soliciting sponsorships from people who are off-island.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes a source. There are grant sources, and I think we feel like we've got some new ideas for what those are. I'm probably forgetting something. Foundations, that would be another one. So, but basically, it's private individuals, businesses, and, you know, these other grantors who are either public or private. And so that's what we're going to spend basically the next 50 years doing.
So that's good. You're going to hit your 1.2 then. That'll be good.
We're currently on track. So, okay. You know, we'll see. I mean, we're 4 months in, right?
I do have a question, though.
Yep.
You're going 220,000 minus, right, this year?
That's what the budget would be. So we're actually, and that's just going to be a function, honestly, of what we raise. So we believe we're on track for the earned revenue part.
Right.
And so far, we're tracking, but make no mistake about it. I mean, that's a chunk of change. It's the biggest lift that any nonprofit's doing on the island by a fair bit. And, you know, ask me again, 12/31, did we get there?
But we are
anticipating a shortfall, which we will cover from capital.
Right. But yeah, another way of looking at it could be you could add that shortfall to the 1.2 million you need and really say it's about 1.4, right?
Well, subtract, you know, 700 and change from 1.9 and it gets you whatever that number is, 1.2.
Okay.
And so I think we're thinking we're going to raise somewhere between the 1 and the 1.2.
Well.
And so for the low end, we run a deficit. If we're on the high end, we don't.
To me, it sounds like you got an awful lot of stuff in the pipe, and it's exciting.
Yeah, thank you.
And I think we all wish you all the best with all those efforts you have ongoing. Now, can you tell us a little bit more about what is coming up in the fall, the end of the year, around Christmas time, something like that?
Sure. Well, so after Summerfest loads out, so that's end of August, we get into September. And our big event in September is our auction, and we've been doing that for probably forever, and we're making some pretty significant changes in that. It's been a two-day event for, since a long time, and we've made the decision we're going to run that as a one-day event, and I think there's lots of solid reasons to do that. I think it's friendlier to our guests and donors. I think it's friendlier to our artists. So that's a big deal for us. That's where we're going to make a big chunk of our fundraising goals. We've got wonderful art shows after that. There's a watercolor show, there's a pastel show, and then there's our December Masters in Miniature show, which is incredibly popular and also always sells well. In that same time frame, we've got great music on our stage. Our Great Island partners will be joining us in that time frame as well. So, you know, folks on the island can look forward to content from Drama Doc and other people like that. Our Nutcracker. So, I mean, that's a good programming season for us. You know, the summer's over. Mm-hmm. The days are getting shorter.
Right.
You know, you should be in our building.
All right. It's a wonderful building to be in. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us, Kevin Hoffberg. And once again, for our listeners, be sure to visit VashonCenterForTheArts.org to learn more about just an amazing wealth of offerings and events, from opera to concerts, gallery openings and exhibitions, lectures, dramatic performances, art classes, dance classes, summer camp, everything. The list goes on, doesn't it?
It does.
All right. Well, good. Well, I'm Mark Hickling, and this has been Island Extras on the Voice of Vashon Radio, KVSH 101.9 FM.